Philip Morris recognized that there was growing public concern about the fact that secondhand smoke substantially increased the risk of sudden infant death in infants. And they were very concerned that if the public came to appreciate that, people would quit smoking. So it's a bit more complicated than this, but they went out and gave a grant to a professor in England to write a detailed scientific review of all of the different causes of sudden infant death, which he did. And we have all the correspondence and all the drafts of this paper in the industry documents in the UC library. And the first draft that he produced was quite good. It was very good. And in fact, it said, secondhand smoke increases the risk of sudden infant death. He sends the draft to Philip Morris. Philip Morris writes back and says, well, this is pretty good, except we think you've kind of overstated the evidence on secondhand smoke. And here's a paper another of our consultants wrote, which was published, they didn't tell him this, but the journal it was published in was set up by the tobacco industry. And the paper, as it comes out, has been rewritten to say the evidence is equivocal. Sullivan's paper, in the first year it was out, was cited 19 times. That's a huge impact of a paper.
But Sullivan caved, did he not?
Well, Sullivan claims, because the journal actually let him see our paper, says, oh, no, he made an independent judgment. And, in fact, the contract or the grant with Sullivan has this language saying that Philip Morris has no say over the final content. They just picked somebody that, you know, ended up playing ball with them. And the thing is, this happens over and over and over and over again. And I can tell you, Max's statement that it's a failure of the peer review process, at one level, in the journal, in one level it's true, but on another level, I served as an editor of a medical journal for 10 years, and it's very, very hard as an editor to detect this kind of stuff.
Well, no,
you're depending on people being honest. Straight with you.
But
now, Sullivan claims he's being honest.
Now, but here's a troubling question, because you mentioned a number of scandals, and one of those, certainly, that you were embroiled in was the UCLA tobacco-funded study that concluded that secondhand smoke does not increase the risk for lung cancer or heart disease.
Right.
And this was something that, of course, you contested in terms of the data that was used and how it was used. But it was published in a reputable journal. It was peer-reviewed, the British Medical Journal. And it was done by a 30-year epidemiologist and also funded not only by the tobacco industry but also by the American Cancer Society.
Well, actually, that's not correct. It was not funded by the American Cancer Society. We actually have a paper coming out about how that paper came to be.
All right, well, let me just answer
your point about that. You see, if Enstrom at UCLA had gotten up and said secondhand smoke doesn't cause lung cancer, based on an analysis which has been soundly trounced by everybody, including the American Cancer Society, where he got the data from, and they had told him it was an inappropriate use of the data, he'd have just made a damn fool of himself. But the fact that it was done with Philip Morris's money makes the university and him look suspect. And it's very important to understand that no one is saying that any member of the faculty, any student, anybody else connected with the University of California should be prohibited from advocating a pro-tobacco position. That would be a violation of academic freedom. We're just saying that the university, to protect the integrity of the process, should not be taking their money.
But if they take the money and they do the science and it's good science and it is, for example, if it questions the whole idea of the negative effects of passive smoke or of so-called secondhand smoke, how can you object to it?
Because the science that the UCLA study did was crap. And in fact, what happened, he tried to get that funded, and it didn't get through the usual peer review. And in fact, when the whole fuss was raised about that study, their answer was, well, only the cigarette companies would fund it. See, we have a whole history of that study in the documents, too.
In fact,
at one point, the author of that study applied to money from Philip Morris some years ago, and their peer reviewers, Philip Morris's internal corporate reviewer, said, this is a crappy study, but let's fund it anyway because we can use them later.
Philip Morris, by the way, of course, declined to come on. We invited them. They'll never go on. No tobacco company will go on with Stan Glantz. I think that's public record, but they did put out a statement, and I wanted to at least get this in the record. This is from Kisti Hedrick, who is with Philip Morris USA Media Affairs. They say, public health officials have concluded that secondhand smoke from cigarettes causes disease, including lung cancer and heart disease in non-smoking adults, as well as causes conditions in children such as asthma, respiratory infections, cough, wheeze, otitis media, that's middle ear infection, and sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. Philip Morris USA believes that the public should be guided by the conclusions of public health officials regarding the health effects of secondhand smoke in deciding whether to be in places where secondhand smoke is present or if they are smokers, when and where to smoke around others. Particular care should be exercised where children are concerned and adults should avoid smoking around them. Max Neiman, let me just go